So he was. He also offered to hold a replacement talk, which he's going to do right now. I'm sure you understand that this is done on short notice, so it might not be entirely as planned. But anyway, the talk will be about persistent device naming, and I think we already see what's happening if it's not going as expected. But in any case, and if everyone please welcome Frans Pop. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So this is a subject that we in Debian have been avoiding for a little bit. It's something we should solve, but we haven't yet. Other distributions have worked on it. But personally, I'm not really happy with the solutions that are available at the moment. So what is the problem? Basically, we used to use DevHDA, DevSDA for our disks. And with all the kernels, we could be reasonably sure that if you rebooted the system, the same disk would be behind DevHDA as the previous boot. So we have in the FS tab links to our partitions that say, okay, root is on DevHDA 5 or something like that. So, as Wouter said, this is on very much improvised, so I hope you'll bear with me. Yes. That's going to catch me a few times. So basically, on my laptop, if you look at Dev, the hard disk devices look like this. As I say, you cannot really rely on these devices being persistent. You cannot rely on them pointing to the same hard disk after different boots. The most obvious problem at the moment is when you have, for example, a USB stick inserted during your boot, that may turn up as the first disk instead of your real hard disk. So how should we work around it according to people who have developed UDEV? They have created for us these beautiful paths. You basically have three alternatives that are supposed to be persistent. You have the path, which is basically the path to the hardware. So you see the PCI bus. You have the ID, which is basically the identifier that the hard disk manufacturer put on the hard disk. That's the bottom one. And of course, you see the different partitions with both. Or you have the UUID. I don't even know what UUID stands for. Unique something. Universal unique, okay, ID. And that's something that's generated whenever you create a new file system. So basically, what we are supposed to do is put these huge strings in our FS tab and put these huge strings in our grub boot line. And personally, I think that's not very user-friendly. And these strings don't mean anything to me, to be honest. And the other place where you would need them is, for example, in your smart mon configuration file, where you currently also have /dev/sda/dev/hda. So there's a lot of places where we would have to put these ugly strings. Another problem with these is that they're not even completely persistent. Because if you look at the path, if you have a SATA disk, then you can easily plug out or pull out the plug to the mainboard and put it in another one. And then you will have the same disk on another path. And so if you're using path at that moment in your FS tab, it will have changed. If you use UUID, that would work. It would still be the same UUID. But if you clone a disk, which is sometimes useful, then you would have the same UUID on two disks. Then that would again confuse the system. And the by ID part is, of course, the most stable until you have to replace a disk. So there's a lot of situations where even these devices are not really persistent. They cannot completely reliably point you to your data. So how would that look? If we look at, this is how an FS tab mostly looks currently. I here have swap partition on HDA7. Boot is HDA1, root on 5, and user on 6. This is a totally random example. And if you're, you may already be using UUID for things like USB sticks to have them mounted on the same point always, but that's basically the only use currently. Except if you already switched to the new model, of course. So what would that become if we used one of the other options? It would become something like that, which is, given that you the FS tab, everything has to be on one line, it's become suddenly completely unmanageable, in my view at least. So the same would happen with UUID or with path, whatever you choose. And one thing you may notice, if I go back to the UUID one, is that I haven't changed the swap. Why? Because swap doesn't have a UUID. So you would have to use different solutions for different types of devices. I tried it on an installation yesterday, and I did not get a UUID for my swap partition. Okay. Okay. UDEV doesn't use it. Okay. Well, I didn't see it in the path, so. Okay, fine. Well, one thing that really doesn't have a UUID is the CD-ROM drive. So you would probably use a bypath for that or something like that. If you use UUID, you don't have to do the dev disk by UUID bit. You can shorten that to this. You can just use UUID is, which shortens this a little bit, but it's still way too long. Now, if you're going to read this, this is not going to tell you if you run FDisk or something. There's no relationship between what you see here and what you're going to see in FDisk. So some people have suggested to do this when... Is that... I thought I had added comments here. The idea was that above the UUID line, you would have a comment saying, okay, this is dev HDA5. But I don't know if anybody can spot the obvious problem with that. If HDA5 is not persistent, then having the comment there is going to be totally useless. right? Okay, so what I would personally like is if we could go back to having something simple like dev disk A1 or something like that. We probably cannot use HDA and SDA because those are tied to what the kernel does. So we have to forget about them. They will always be there in dev, and they will be basically only annoying because you cannot use them for anything sensible. And the way I think we could solve this is by having a separate step in UDEV that generates these extra links to HD whatever. And that should be done basically as the last step in the discovery. So you would first have all these UDEV events coming up that create the stable, these persistent links that we have now. And then at the end, when the queue is empty, you would have an additional step that would create these new labels. Let me see if I can show that. And how it would work in this is just a wide idea. This has to be further developed. What would happen is that UDEV would go looking in etc somewhere, etc UDEV somewhere, for a file like this, roughly like this, which would have both the path and the ID, and for partitions, the UUIDs that were known at the last boot. So these files would be maintained automatically. And then it would go searching and say, okay, I've now got, I found a disk on this path, on this ID. And it would say, okay, if everything matches, then I can just create the extra link disk A in this case, and of course for the partitions with the number appended. Now if you would pull the SATA plug in this case and move it to another location, to another bus, the path would change. Okay, so the path would change it would be a SATA path, of course, but let's make this one from master to slave, for example. So the path would change, but the ID would stay the same. So you could have heuristics in UDEV that would say, okay, if one thing matches, then maybe the disk was just moved. Okay, and then it could update the changed path, but still keep the disk A. The same with partitions. If you repartition the device, and for example you would delete the first partition and create two new partitions in the same place, then it would still find the UUIDs for the other partitions, so it could assign the same numbers even though the partitions themselves have been renumbered. And well, the reason this would have to happen as a last step in UDEV is because you basically want all your devices detected before you go doing this heuristic step. So that when there are changes and conflicts, you have all the information available to make a decision on what the new path should be. I think this would not only work for hard disk, but also for network interfaces. For example, for Ethernet zero, you could have something like that. You could have the hardware address, and I'm pretty sure that I added the path below that as well at some point. So it also has a PCI path, my NIC. So if you then pull out a NIC and insert a new one, with current UDIF, it would get a new number. Ethernet zero would no longer be there. You would get Ethernet one because it matches on the purely on the MAC address at the moment. But if you had this system, you could have the heuristic say, okay, Ethernet zero is gone. It's no longer in the system. But in the same hardware slot, I've got a new NIC. So let's just assume that that's a replacement NIC and assign the same device name. I also think that it would be useful to have user configurable options so that in some case you could say, okay, even though this NIC may disappear sometimes, I know it will come back. So even if it disappears, please keep this configuration like this. Please keep this name reserved for that NIC. So it would be fairly flexible, I think. So any thoughts about this? Rico?
First one is about file system labels.
File system labels, that's an option too. It's something that Fedora uses, I think, and others. The problem with that is that if you have a label root and a label USR, and you want to install two operating systems on the same hard disk, then you're very likely to get conflicting labels. If you do a new installation.
Yes. Random number, not the conflict.
Yes, so you would have root 1 and root 2 and root 3 and whatever.
But then it scraps,
you
want the distribution name, but then you have two.
Yes.
Max.
So, definitely. Labels is not the answer either. And the nice thing about having something simple as disk A is that we could then also put that in all the default configuration files, like for SmartMon and whatever.
Yeah. How would this be with the cloning? Would it update the UIDs?
What it would do in case of cloning is probably detect that there was a conflict like that, and either refuse to continue or just select one disk. And then probably, if you have cloned, then you would probably have
still have
the ideas on the old path as well as on a new path, and then it would prefer the one on the old path.
Yes? The whole situation of having when something strange happens, then let the software figure out what to do. I'm a bit scary of that actually. It's sort of thing I like. But if I'm maintaining a system and I would like that, well, I choose to do it by, say, PCI slot ID, and I know if I move it to another PCI slot, then I'll have to change it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm usually not really keen on letting my system figure it out by itself, because it might actually be wrong. Do you plan to be able to disable that sort of thing?
Yes, probably, but as I said, this is a very wild idea. This is in its really infancy
mm-hmm.
stage.
Actually, I have sort of that thing solved for me anyway. I had it with my UDP device where any UDP thing, it will get an ID. And I didn't really like it because there's some devices that I know when I insert them, I just know what it is. So I added a UDEV rule to say, well, if that device is inserted, it should add a symlink with a name, which is just the name I gave the device.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it works really well.
For power users, it does work. Yes, I agree.
Yeah, well,
but for
some configuration other than editing the rules file.
Martin?
So I use something similar like that. I have a def disk A, whatever, and then it symlinks to def by UUID and stuff like that. How does your system actually improve on that? And do you actually want to assume that if I take out my hard drive and I plug it in somewhere else, that I don't have to make any changes to the root file system? Like, I don't see how that is actually a motivation.
So how do you create those symlinks at the moment?
I create them manually.
Manually?
But yeah, and
okay.
Then when I put in a new hard drive, I know I have to change those symlinks.
Okay. Well, that's an option as well, of course. The thing that I'm of course coming from background of the installer, where we have to solve this in some way, and we have to solve it in a way that makes it work for new users, inexperienced Linux people.
This is automatic, not user intervention.
Yes.
I don't like but I'm just asking because I want you to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you have. So.
Well,
the
real problem at the moment is that I totally hate the idea of having these UUIDs and whatever in the FS step. So I'm looking for some kind of solution to that. Creating links manually is not something that's going to work in an installation. It's not going to work for people who are not power users. The existing links that we have now, UUID and whatever, are also created automatically. So I don't see a problem with creating another additional link automatically.
Follow up to that, there's the persistent net rules, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they actually don't have the path in there, there's only the MAC address.
I know,
in there.
Yes.
Why not just do exactly the same for disks? Like your def A SDA will always be def SDA, or it will always be disk A, like the, you know, you have def SDA being the actual file, and then you have def disks that I should be using slash SDA.
The problem is that, as I explained earlier with the Ethernet case, it doesn't work if you replace an Ethernet card.
Right, because it's a different card.
It's a different card. It will get Ethernet 1.
Right.
And
what about LDM and device mapper in
general? My laptop actually has LVM on it. I didn't use these examples, but LVM also has long paths, but at least they're humanly readable because...
and it's detected at boot time.
Yes. So
it only works for the end stuff. It doesn't solve the problem for things who have to actually work on the hardware instead of, like smart key or stuff like that. So there you can't use any step mapper. I mean, in the FS
hub, I really don't see the problem because I use LVM anywhere, but for other things.
So
how will the bootloader know that you've been swapping disks around?
That's a good question. I haven't solved that one yet. And I think it's going to be a very hard one because if you look at the grub device file, that still has the old style device names in it. I've no idea how to solve that one.
My first impression is you're trying to solve an impossible problem. There is no good solution for this one.
For the bootloader, it's probably going to be an unsolvable problem. Yes.
That solves other problems.
Yes.
The mappings random at the first, but then as stable as possible, which is.
Yes. So I'm sort trying to solve a part of the problem here, but I agree that bootloader is another issue. The thing with bootloader, of course, is that if you're going to change disks and your boot disk, you're going to have a problem anyway because you also have to tell your BIOS to look for another disk. And I think you will always have to make manual changes there. The case I'm thinking of more is systems with multi-disks where you swap out one disk and replace it by another, and not necessarily your boot disk.
Didn't explain what the issue we have in the installer is that the Debian installer host wants to install Debian from a USB stick. And I see a lot of people with EEPC around, and you can install Debian with this USB stick, but at the first reboot, you'll have to manually change once or twice the path, because during the installation, the USB stick was assigned HDA, and so your hard disk was SDD. Then you reboot with the installation stick removed, and it doesn't boot anymore because the hard disk became SDA instead of what it was during installation, which was SDD. So I'd really like to find a solution for that pretty quickly, because it's getting more and more common to install Debian from USB stick, I think.
Okay, I think we're out of time. If anybody is interested in pursuing this, then please contact me. I will probably set up a wiki page about this or something to start the discussion. But I just wanted to throw this in the group, so to say. Thank you.